All right, so we want to discuss this. I know we'll have things to say. So we want to discuss this with brothers. So you guys understand the outer circle being the universal body, as I taught, and then that inner circle is the local body. You both have seen, because I'm online with Brother Cool and Brother Zellos, you both have seen the challenges of long distance. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can you add anything to what I missed about the challenges or expound upon them? Or why there's a danger in today's high-tech world?
I would say, based on the experience I've seen with the people that we've been through long distance, the danger is that long distance only goes as far as the other person is willing to take it.
Yep.
So if the person is not... this goes for everybody. Everybody wants, well, not everybody, but the vast majority of people will say they want fellowship, but hardly anybody wants accountability. In long distance, it's really easy to hide things so you don't get accountability and you just want the fellowship. And Amen. The two really have to go hand in hand.
Yeah, see, that's a great point. I'm glad we're talking about this. Yeah, absolutely. They don't want accountability. They just want to, like I always say, kind of touch the holy people. And you'll hear a lot of this. Well, I'm not where you guys are, but they still want to be somewhat close to you, like they get brownie points from God, like going to lunch with the pastor or something. And it doesn't work that way. You're either one of us or you're not one of us. Right?
Nope.
Makes sense? Brother Zellos, you're a married man. Would it be possible to carry out your marriage over the internet?
No. That doesn't work.
Yeah. And so God designs this local body. Brother Kuo, any thoughts from you?
I was just going to add, yeah, accountability is a big one. And any modern church, really, you look at them, they'll accept you no matter where you are. As long as you give the tithe and you send an email to the pastor saying that you want to join their membership, and they're all for you coming right into the church body. They have no standards. So I guess that's where the local body and the...
Wait, brother, are you saying that some local churchianity places would say, come as you are? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Don't we see that all the time? Come as you are.
You don't even need to be face-to-face anymore. You could just email the pastor and send him some money or something and be like, sure, come on in.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. You have to have that standard of truth, the standard of God, the truth, everything aligned with the truth. And it's really hard to do that when a lot of the Christian life is walking out and doing what the word says.
You Good
can't
point.
See what they're doing.
Good point. That's a great point. Yeah, ready? It's not just faith in Jesus. It's actually doing what he's told us to do. And we have seen on the internet that, well, what is the internet? Ready? The internet can be a big fake world, right? There can be truth on the internet. I think don'tperish.com's got a lot of truth. It's not mine, it's God's. But the internet is primarily full of false, fake impressions. And people can build a false persona on the internet. And they can, woo. You know, that's why I think all this online church is really big, because you can sit in your house and do whatever you want and watch on TV and feel like you're part of the body of Christ, and there's no accountability, there's no standards, and so the internet is a big fake world, and while we can use the internet for God's glory, we can't allow it to be the standard and let it people live a sloppy life and live in sin and false ways. That makes sense? So does it, we're not going to talk about that today, but it makes sense to look at, like, when people contact us from the outer circle, another country, they're far away, there's like a litmus test, and you want to encourage them and tell them to go on. But if somebody ever wants to draw close in the inner circle, the local body, well, then they get even more scrutiny. Because now it's like, okay, now you want to actually be in our body. See, you can be in that body, and you're going to deal with God, because we can't see or nothing, and we're not responsible for you. As soon as you want to be in our local body, guess what? I'm now responsible for you. My brothers are responsible for you. We don't take it lightly. When we have a brother or sister, we look after them. We care for them. We love them. We edify them every day. Yeah, we call out their sin and their false ways too, amongst each other. So if you want to join the local body, you better be ready. Ready? Get under the magnifying glass to be proved and be tested like we all are. Otherwise, how can we ever know who you are? The Bible says prove all things. I think that means all people too, right?
Amen. I think another way of putting it would be like, there is, like you said, the universal church, the body of Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one body. And then you have local bodies that are autonomous. And the people from the local body are united to each other and they get to know each other. But they're not necessarily a part of the local body down the road. Like the church at Corinth was not the same local body as the church at Ephesus or the church at Philippi. They were all part of the body of Christ, but they were all local bodies with their unique issues that had to deal with amongst themselves and deal with it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's another good point. Yeah. So it's one of the challenges we have of having a website that goes all over the world and then dealing with people. And then we go out and street preach and you got people right in front of you locally. And it's like knowing the difference. You're going to handle the person right in front of you a little bit different than you handle the long distance person. And it's not partiality. We should discuss that a little different. Discuss that. Partiality. God hates partiality. 1 Timothy 5 tells us that. James tells us that. But it's not partiality to treat people differently because there's different issues at play with each person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can I give an example? So we got a body and we got a young brother and we say, well, let's say he's well along in the faith, and we make him a deacon, and a deacon looks after the money and taking care of things. We find out he's stealing from us, from the body, not us. He's stealing from the Lord, right? Like a Judas. We call him in and go, hey brother, whoever, what are you doing? Well, yeah, I'm stealing. I fell back on an old pattern. Wow. All right. Strip him of his deacon duties. If he repents, we forgive him. Okay? But I have a question. Does he get to take care of the money anymore?
No.
Yeah. No. Like, you know, if you had someone that had, you know, sexual issues, you're not going to ever put them in charge of looking after youth. You know, it's just common sense in the body. Even if they've repented, use wisdom. So that's not being partial. If someone's been a liar or mistrustful or built a false persona online, and then you meet them in person and they're not who they said they were, and now you have to treat them different than you treat everybody else, that's not partiality. That's actually wisdom, rightly discerning how to treat somebody versus somebody who doesn't have those issues. And so that has to come into play here when we make all these decisions to see who's in the outer circle, who could be in the inner circle. We don't want to be partial, but we want to use wisdom and rightly discern all things. Does that make sense?
I'm going to toss something in here. Test me in this. Partiality means showing favor based on fleshly preferences.
Yep.
If that would be right. Whereas, if you actually look at it biblically, it would almost be wrong to just treat everybody the same because everybody's different. Let's say you meet a brother who's feeble-minded. If you treat that feeble-minded brother the same way you treat somebody who's really strong in mind, you'd actually probably be sinning against your feeble-minded brother by just treating him the same. So you can't, it's not partial to treat people different based on their needs in the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, when I said it's being partial, I guess I should have said people will think you're being partial, but you're not, because you're right. It's not biblical partiality. There is a way to do it to where, you like Brother Kuo's always mentioning, the comely parts, and we have to give extra to people that need it more and need more help, and so they get a little bit different treatment. That's not being partial to them biblically. It's actually caring for them and looking out for them. Partiality is like in James. Oh, we meet a brother, like I told you guys, ready? I told you the story about the guy who was an heir to the Caterpillar fortune down here in Florida, and I was discipling him for like 3 days. If I would have treated him different, this guy's like, his dad's a billionaire. or his dad died, now the inheritance is there. If I would have treated him different than I treat the guy in the gutter when I'm discipling him, that would be terribly sinful because he's got money. But if I treated him different because he had different understanding of the word or had different needs to come to faith, then that would be biblical and loving to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point, brother. Good point. So any other thoughts on the outer circle or the inner circle, the universal body or the local body?
Possibly just to take this in another direction a little bit. It's because there's that distinction that a lot of the denominations go wrong when they form a denomination where you have one organization overseeing a bunch of local bodies. The local body is autonomous in Scripture.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's what we see. They're all part of the universal body, but all the local bodies are autonomous and independent.
Yeah. Amen. And the big rage now with the, again, we're talking about this because of technology. I wouldn't have this problem if I didn't have a website and mail and email. You'd go, I don't even know anybody out there in the world. You know, you wouldn't know. Like in Paul's day, unless you had runners, messengers running across the country. The big deal now is campuses. You know, have you heard this? Oh, we have another campus. That, you know what it means when they say they have another campus? Do you know it's a dead giveaway? You know what that means? One pastor. So they have eight campuses. One guy sits in the main campus. They telecast him, and he preaches to eight bodies all over the, could be all over the state, all over the country, like that, I won't even mention his name, the big famous guy on the internet. He's got one internet church, and he does all the services, and it beams out to hundreds, maybe thousands of bodies now, all over America. And none of them are autonomous. They all answer to him. They all send money to him. They all follow his doctrine. And it's absolutely sinful and wicked because it's not what God designed.
Yeah.
Good point, brother. Good point. Anything else?
I don't think so.
I got one more thing. I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters I know in the local body.
Amen.
And I love them in the Lord, and I'm thankful for what God's doing in their lives. So... awesome. Thanks, brothers.
Amen.
God be praised.